Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's say our devotional prayers. St. Michael, be our King. Defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke and we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of Heavenly Hosts, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and the other evil spirits who prowl the world, seeking ruin of souls. Amen. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee we cry, poor banished children to be. To thee we send up our sighs, mourning and weeping in this valley of tears. Turn then, most gracious Advocate, be your eyes of mercy towards us, and after this our exile, show unto us the blessed fruit of your womb, Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary, pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Amen. We welcome you all to the liturgy today. Thank you for being compliant with wearing your mask and being conscious of social distancing. Baby bottles were to be returned this weekend. If you haven't returned your baby bottle, please drop them off at the office. Your generosity is appreciated. Noted in the bulletin is our Lenten schedule. Easter Vigil will be at 8 p.m. To stay compliant with social distancing, we will celebrate Easter Sunday Masses at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. in the church and in the hall. Our schedule is noted in the Chronicle this weekend with the corrected Mass times. If you have any questions, please call the office. Knights of Columbus officers will meet in the hall this Monday at 7 p.m. Noted in the bulletin every week are monies that are collected from our weekly offertory, our online giving, and any donations we have received. Due to the current circumstances, we are not passing the collection basket around, but we have placed a large basket to my right for your convenience. We want to thank you for your generosity.
The beginning of the celebration of our Lord's Paschal Mystery,
that is to say, of his passion and resurrection. For it was to accomplish this mystery that he entered his own city of Jerusalem. Therefore, without faith and devotion, let us commemorate the Lord's entry into the city of our salvation, following in his footsteps, so that, being made by his grace partakers of the cross, we may have a share also in his resurrection and in his life. At this time, I ask you to take all of your palms in your hands and please hold it up in your hands. Sanctify these branches with your blessing, that we who follow Christ the King in exaltation may reach the eternal Jerusalem through him, who lives and reigns forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
And Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village opposite to you, and immediately on entering it, you will find a colt with head on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone should say to you, 'Why are you doing this?' reply, 'The master has need of it, and will send it back here at once.'" So they went off and found a court there and a gate outside on the street, and they untied it. Some of the bystanders said to them, "Why are you doing untying the court?" They answered them just as Jesus had said to them, and they permitted them to do it. So they brought the colt to Jesus and put their cloak over it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. Those preceding him, as well as those following, kept crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that is to come. Hosanna in the highest." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Dear brothers and sisters, like the crowds who acclaimed Jesus in Jerusalem, let us go forth in peace.
Processional, let us sing number 139, if you have a 2020 missalette, "All Glory, Laud, and Honor."
You are.
Almighty, ever living God, who was an example of humility for the human race to follow, caused our Savior to take flesh and submit to the cross. Graciously grant that we may hear his lesson and lessons of patient suffering, and so merit a share in his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Oh,
reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave, and coming in human likeness, and found human in appearance, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bend, and those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?
He
sent two of his disciples and said to them,
"Go into the city, and a man will meet you, carrying a jar of water. Follow him. Wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. Make the preparations for us there."
The disciples went off, entered the city, and found it just as he had told them. And they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he came with the 12. And as they reclined at table, they were eating, Jesus said,
"Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me."
They began to be distressed and to say to him one by one,
"Surely it is not I."
He said to them,
"One of the 12, the one who dips with me into the dish, for the Son of Man indeed goes, and it is written of him, 'But of that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed, it would be better for that man if he had never been born.'"
While they were eating, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them, and said,
"Take it. This is my body."
Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, and they all drank from it. He said to them,
"This is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed for many. Amen, I say to you, I shall not drink again the fruit of the wine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God."
Then, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them,
"All of you will have your faith shaken, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be dispersed.' But after I have been raised up, I will go before you to Galilee."
Peter said to him,
"Even though all shall have their faith shaken, mine will not be."
Then Jesus said to him,
"Amen, I say to you, this very night, before the cock crows twice, you will betray me, you will deny me 3 times.
But he vehemently replied,
"Even though I should have to die with you, I will not deny you."
And they all spoke similarly. Then they came to a place named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples,
"Sit here while I pray."
He took with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be troubled and distressed. Then he said to them,
"My soul is sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and keep watch."
He advanced a little and fell to the ground, and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass by him. He said,
"Abba, Father, all things are possible to you. Take this cup away from me, but not what I will, but what you will."
When he returned, he found them asleep. He said to Peter,
"Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray, that you may not undergo the test. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak."
Withdrawing again, he prayed, saying the same thing. Then he returned once more and found them asleep, for they could not keep their eyes open and did not know what to answer him. He returned a third time and said to them,
"Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is to be handed over to sinners. Get up, let's go. See, my betrayer is at hand."
Then, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, accompanied by a crowd with swords and clubs, who had come from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. His betrayer had arranged a signal with them, saying,
"Man I shall kiss is the one. Arrest him and lead him away securely."
He came and immediately went over to him and said,
Rabbi.
And he kissed him. At this, they laid hands on him and arrested him. One of the bystanders drew his sword and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his ear. Jesus said to them in reply,
"Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to seize me? Day after day, I was with you in the temple area, yet you did not arrest me, but that the scripture be fulfilled."
And then they all left him and fled. Now a young man followed him, wearing nothing but a linen cloth about his body. They seized him, but he left the cloth behind and ran off naked. Then they led Jesus away to the high priest, and all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes came together. Peter followed him at a distance into the high priest's courtyard and was seated with the guards, warming himself at the fire. The chief priests and the entire Sanhedrin kept trying to obtain testimony against Jesus in order to put him to death, but they found none. Many gave false witness against him, but their testimony did not agree. Some took the stand and testified falsely against him, alleging,
"Peter and said, I will destroy this temple made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another not made with hands."
Even so, their testimony did not agree. The high priest rose before the assembly and questioned Jesus, saying,
"Have you no answer? What are these men testifying against you?"
But he was silent and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said to him,
"Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?"
And Jesus answered,
"I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven."
At that, the high priest tore his garments and said,
"What further need do we have of witnesses? We have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?"
They all condemned him as deserving to die. Some began to spit on him. They blindfolded him and struck him and said to him,
"Prophesy."
And the guards greeted him with blows. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the high priest's maids came along. Seeing Peter warming himself, she looked intently at him and said,
"You too were with the Nazarene Jesus."
But he denied it, saying,
"I neither know nor understand what you are talking about."
So he went out into the outer court. Then the cock crowed. The maid saw him and began to say to the bystanders,
"This man is one of them."
Once again he denied it. A little later, the bystanders said to Peter once more,
"Surely you are one of them, for you too are a Galilean."
He began to curse and to swear,
"I do not know this man about whom you are talking."
And immediately the cock crowed a second time. Then Peter remembered the word that Jesus had said to him, "Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. He broke down and wept. As soon as morning came, the chief priests with the elders and the scribes, that is, the whole Sanhedrin, held a council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate questioned him,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
He said to him in reply,
"You say so."
The chief priests accused him of many things. Again, Pilate questioned him,
"Have you no answer? See how many things they accuse you of?"
Jesus gave him no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. Now on the occasion of the feast, he used to release to them one prisoner whom they requested. A man called Barabbas was then in prison along with the rebels who had committed murder in a rebellion. The crowd came forward and began to ask him to do for them as he was accustomed. Pilate answered,
"Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?"
For he knew that it was out of envy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate again said to them in reply,
"Then what do you want me to do with the man you call the king of the Jews?"
They shouted again,
"Crucify him."
Pilate Pilate said to them,
"Why? What evil has he done?"
They only shouted the louder,
"Crucify him!"
So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and after he had Jesus scourged, handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is, the Praetorium, and assembled the whole court. They clothed him in purple, weaving a crown of thorns, placed it on him. They began to salute him with,
"Hail, King of the Jews!"
and kept striking his head with a reed and spitting on him. They knelt before him in homage. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak, dressed him in his own clothes, and led him out to be crucified. They pressed into service a passerby, Simon the Cyrenian, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. They brought him to the place of Golgotha, which is translated place of the skull. They gave him wine drugged with myrrh, but he did not take it. Then they crucified him and divided his garments by casting lots for them to see what each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." With him they crucified two revolutionaries, one on his right and one on his left. Those passing by reviled him, shaking their heads and saying,
"Ah, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself by coming down from the cross."
Likewise, the chief priests with the scribes mocked him among themselves and said,
"He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe."
Those who were crucified with him also kept abusing him. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 o'clock, Jesus cried in a loud voice,
"Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,"
which is translated,
my God, why have you forsaken me?"
Some of the bystanders who heard it said,
"Look, he is calling Elijah."
One of them ran, soaked a sponge with wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying,
"Wait, let us see if Elijah comes to take him down."
Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. Stone against the entrance to the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph, watched where he was laid.
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Beth and Jerry, and the choir for making this Passion reading so nice and beautiful today. And I'm not going to give you another big comedy. This itself, the Passion narrative itself, is a beautiful comedy, and we can reflect, you know, like see, like really when we go through the Passion readings, we can really place ourselves with some of these characters that we have found in the Passion readings, you know, like Jesus, the crowd, the pirate, the centurion, so many of those characters, they're all with a different passion. They're all different passion. That's why we say today Passion reading, like, so people with a different passion we find there. And therefore, when we really sit down, you know, maybe like this Holy Week during this time, now, it's a beautiful time of our faith, you know, like Holy Week is a very, very beautiful, rich, beautiful time with beautiful readings, liturgy and all that. Therefore, it is time for us to maybe go through this reading again and reflect and where do I stand in my relationship with God and reflect it. Now, probably today, when I was reflecting, what really, you know, struck me was not anything but, you know, like maybe at the end we heard, end of the Passion reading, you know, the centurion said what he said. You know, like the centurion, he was just, you know, this soldier there, and you know, like we do not know where he's from, what he's doing, where he was, what kind of church, why not temple he was going. We have no idea anything about this centurion. What we hear is he was there. And he has seen all that happened to Jesus, what was unfolding there. You know, like his, you know, condemnation, and he's carrying the cross, and he, like he's falling down. All those things he has watched. And finally, at the end, when he passed away, he said, "He is truly the Son of God. He is truly the Son of God." That is what he really felt from his heart and his head. And probably that is what we should do. You know, like, what do you think? You know, what, you know, like, when you go through this, you know, what is, what not really tells you? You know, like, sometimes, you know, we need to say to Jesus, "You are really my Savior. And thank you for giving your life for me." You know, and then you are really the Son of God. You know, you are really my God, my living God. Probably that is what we should say. And therefore, let us become, you know, really get involved in this Holy Week and become part of our liturgy and feel and experience that grace from God in our life and in our families.
Spirit,
before our merciful God with humble hearts and offer these petitions.
For Pope Francis and leaders of the Church, may the Lord bless their efforts to spread the gospel to all. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For lawyers and judges, may God's just judgment inform them in seeking truth, justice, and dignified treatment for all who come before them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who are persecuted, may the Lord bless them with strength and patience in bearing their crosses and hope in enduring their sufferings. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For each one of us gathered here today, may God lead us in this season of Lent to repentance and conversion. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who have died, especially Valerie Epazinas and George Thad, uncle of our Tony Stafford, may they know eternal peace and joy in the kingdom of heaven. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That each one of us will be open to God's call and in prayerful considering how we best can bring hope to those seeking a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Father, we humbly ask you to hear the prayers we offer you this day. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. In preparation of gifts, let us sing O Sacred Head Surrounded, number 148 in your 2020 select. You have one.
May our reconciliation with you be near at hand, so that though we do not merit it by our own deeds, yet by this sacrifice made once for all, we may feel already the effect of your mercy. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift up our soul.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
truly right and just our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere, to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. For though innocent, he suffered willingly for sinners and accepted unjust condemnation to save the guilty. His death has washed away our sins, and his resurrection has purchased our justification. And so, with all the angels, we praise you as in joyful celebration we acclaim. The mystery of faith, we proclaim your death, O Lord.
We profess your resurrection until you come again.
Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have been worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that partaking the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church, spread throughout the world, and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with the Francis, our Pope and Gregory, our Bishop of all the world. Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us, all we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with the Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the Blessed Apostles, and with all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may live to be glorious eternal life, and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him and with him and in him, O God Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, forever and ever.
Amen.
Lord, we pray, from every evil, graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we wait the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
The kingdom, power, and glory
of the Lord
is now and forever.
Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us, peace I leave you. My peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who lives and reigns forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Let us offer each other the sign of peace.
Presence of the Lord.
that just as to the death of your Son, you have brought us to hope for what we believe. So by his resurrection, you may lead us to where we call. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
So my dear friends, as it is announced, the Holy Week schedule is already in the bulletin. And like Holy Thursday, I would really appreciate if you would come and become part of that beautiful celebration at 7 o'clock, Last Supper, in the Institute of the Sacrament, and the priesthood and the beautiful ceremony that the Holy Thursday. And I would like to wash all of your feet. Is it okay? But I cannot do that, but we need some people. We are already a few people. And if anybody would like to be part of that, Vanita is there at the back of the church. You can give your name to her, and we really, really appreciate that. And then Good Friday, we have the celebration. 12 o'clock, we have the Stations of the Cross. And that is, we make the Stations of the Cross. We go around the Stations and we make the Stations of the Cross. 12 o'clock. And then the Good Friday liturgy, active liturgy, this is veneration of the cross. That is at 3 o'clock. That is the Good Friday liturgy. That veneration of the cross will be at 3 o'clock. No, 3 o'clock. And then Holy Saturday morning, there is nothing. And, 10 o'clock, Saturday, 10 o'clock, usually people bring the bread basket and all that, for blessing Easter bread and all that, so we have the blessing of the bread at the hall at 10 o'clock, and evening, 8 o'clock, we begin the Easter vigil, and then Sunday, we have four masses, 8:30, we have two masses, one in the hall and another one in the church, same time. And then 10:30 also, we have one mass in the hall and then another one in the church so that we can accommodate, more people, if they get more people. So that is our plan. So please try to accommodate yourself in one of these masses and then become part of this beautiful celebration this Holy Week. And thank you so much again. So the Lord be with you. Bow your heads and pray for God's blessing. Look, we pray, O Lord, on this, your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ did not hesitate to be delivered into the hands of the wicked and submit to the agony of the cross, who lives and reigns forever and ever.
Amen.
May the Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go forth.
Thanks
be to God. Have a nice day.